escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Good morning! 401! Mick Monagle here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a good weekend, and now we're in it. All-star break. I don't know if I have nothing to say. We'll find something to say over the next week. A lot of baseball today. The calls have been out in full force coming off this weekend. The Mets take 2 of 3 in Kansas City, fall short on Sunday. Unable to get the sweep, unable to take back first place from the Phillies, half a game back. We did see Manaea come back and pitch very well in this game. Got swing and misses, 7 strikeouts, looked really, really good. And you know me, I'm an optimist, even when it comes to my Met fandom. That's right, I like the Mets. Believe it or not. And to me, that's more important than the win or the loss. Manaea came back and pitched extremely well. You got Kodai Senga returned, and while he didn't give you a lot of innings, he pitched pretty well and got out of jams left and right. And now this rotation is finally at a place where you were hoping it would be at the start of the year with Senga, Manaea, Peterson, Montas, and Clay Holmes. That was the 5 you expected to start the year with. It didn't work that way, and now they're all back into the rotation, pitching fairly well, and this Met team heads into the All-Star break, a half a game back in Philadelphia, still looking to improve this offense because the offense has not been good with runners in scoring position, didn't score until the 9th inning of this game on Sunday. And to me, now that the pitching is back, now that we're starting to see Reed Garrett pitch better out of the bullpen, now that Diaz is clearly, if not, you know, one of the best closers in baseball, they need some things. They need a defensive center fielder, an offensive outfielder. They're going to need more arms in the bullpen. But to me, this offense, as is, should be a hell of a lot better than it's been. And that's what you're looking to improve here in the second half and into the trade deadline. The New York Yankees losing 2 out of 3 to the Chicago Cubs after a 5-game winning streak, after a lot of an offensive explosion, after all week, me telling you, we don't have to go back into it again, but the organizational feeling change of cutting DJ LeMahieu, recognizing it was time to put Jazz at second base, recognizing there was no role for DJ LeMahieu. Just that felt so different. And then to watch the play immediately answer that, it felt different. And the offense exploded, and then it went ice cold again. As we've seen, this team can go as quickly as it can get hot, it can go cold again. And Matthew Boyd and Imanaga, over the last 2 days, completely shut down this Yankee offense. Left-handed, good left-handed pitching is still a thorn in the side for the New York Yankees, despite some better numbers against left-handed pitching. The top of the league lefties are, and that's on, you know, Boyd is, hasn't been that traditionally his entire career, but he is this year. And Imanaga, since becoming, since joining the Cubs last year, has been that for them. And they lose to a good team, but still, for me, positive again. They do take 4 of 6 on the homestand, which I think any Yankee fan would have signed for heading into 2 series against the Mariners and the Cubs. They head into the All-Star break feeling a little bit better about themselves despite the last 2 losses. And right now, Brian Cashman, as reports are coming out fast and furious, and he spoke to this earlier in the week, and this is kind of how I started the show. This is the it's the old and the new at the trade deadline for both these teams. And as we get to the All-Star break, yeah, there's still some games to be played before the trade deadline. And yeah, we can do all the typical stuff, and we will over the course of the week, of first half MVPs and guys we expect to perform better in the second half. But, and even trade targets is secondary right now to just the idea of how aggressive are these two teams going to be. And there were reports from John Heyman that the Yankees in particular are viewed throughout baseball as attempting to be extremely aggressive right now.
Can't even believe it!
As we're watching Schlittler come up and throw 100 miles an hour, his name has now emerged as someone who could maybe have some value. Obviously, Spencer Jones in the minor leagues, who leads all of minor league baseball with home runs, and has a 900-plus OPS. He's been a name for a long time. Yankees have been holding on to him for a long time. Obviously, aggressive means he's on the table. There's a lot of roster pieces on this current team. Ben Rice, I would think, is somewhat available. I would think that Trent Grisham, maybe even Goldschmidt. There's a lot of different ways to attack this deadline. We know Brian Cashman in the past has been aggressive. He's also taken years where he stepped back. I think this team in this moment, with Aaron Judge still in the prime of his career, and we don't know how many years left of that, he has to be uber aggressive. And he spoke to that, and I got the feeling, listening to him last week, more so than any other year in recent memory, he sounded like he wanted to go be aggressive. He mentioned all the different holes they have and how he needs to go fill them and how it's a lot and he's going to try his best and he's all in and all that. Where typically you hear, oh, I like us. We, you know, as long as this happens, you know, this guy's still pretty good, but he was injured. And like, he gives you a bunch of excuses. There really wasn't a lot of excuse making from Brian Cashman, who went into this season knowing third base was going to be something they attacked at the deadline. Before the season even started, they knew that was going to be the case. So we'll see how aggressive the Yankees are. And for me, this is now old hat for Brian Cashman, but brand new for David Stearns. And I'm really fascinated right now how the Mets are going to handle this trade deadline as well. I don't know if they have as many holes as the Yankees. I don't think they do. I feel better about their rotation right now. I talked about adding some depth. You're clearly looking for bullpen arms, as is everybody else in Major League Baseball. But this is the first year, right? Last year, there was a deadline. 2 years ago, they sold. And although Stearns wasn't there, you know, the cynic in me knows that that was the obvious hire and felt like maybe some of those moves were ran by Stearns, and the talking points at that deadline ended up sounding exactly how Stearns now talks. But this is the first one as the GM. Last year, there wasn't this edict. Last year, yes, they recovered from 11 games under 500. They were on a tear. They were playing incredibly well heading into the All-Star break. They ended up having the best record in Major League Baseball from that moment in early June when they were 11 games under for the rest of the way. Grimace, OMG, everything about it. But that trade deadline last year, there wasn't a mandate. There wasn't an edict yet to go win a championship. But when you have the offseason they had, when you bring in the great Juan Soto, when you bring in back Pete Alonso for $30 million, the most money any first baseman's ever made for a single year, when you have this payroll, when you have these expectations, now it's, you have to go win the World Series. And when you look at it, they have a lot of pitching prospects now, right? McLean's done really well in AAA. Obviously, Tong has been one of the better pitchers, if not the best pitcher, in minor league baseball. Sproat has not had as good a year as you had hoped, but still a top pitching prospect for them. Are they willing to move those pieces to improve this team? Because the way they try and treat their pitching staff, it's hard to not rely on your farm system. If you're not going to go spend money in free agency for starting pitching, you have to replenish it not only with the Griffin Cannings of the world and, you know, hope you're right on the Manias of the world or the Severinos of the world. You also have to have Petersons and guys that supplement your rotation through your farm system. Are you willing to move those guys for the short-term benefit? Because in Milwaukee, you might not. But when you're the GM of the New York Mets, you might have to. So I'm very curious to see how both of these teams attack the trade deadline, a deadline that's hard to get a read on, a deadline that's going to be a seller's market, with holes to try and go out there and win a championship, because I think the Mets are good enough. I think the Mets are good enough to win their division, but Philly is a tough team and currently a half a game up, and we know what's out west. So if you want to go beat the Dodgers, how aggressive are you willing to be right now with some of these prospects that you've been cultivating, trying to change the organization from within? How quickly are you willing to move those guys? What's the impetus to go out there and really impact this roster to go try and win a championship? So as we hit the All-Star break, we have the Home Run Derby tonight, the game on Tuesday. For me, the question now becomes, how aggressive are both of these teams going to be, who clearly need help? The Yankees 2 games behind, the Mets a half a game behind, holes in the bullpen, holes in the lineup. Now the Yankees turn and look to a division that once was a 7-game lead and the entire American League East was being scoffed at. What happened to this once great division? The Orioles are a joke. The Red Sox are a joke. The Blue Jays are frauds, and they still are. But now the Red Sox have won 10 games in a row. They are 1 game, 2 in the loss column, but 1 game, the same number of wins behind the New York Yankees in the standings. They are in a playoff spot right now. And suddenly this division that looked like the Yankees were running away with and wouldn't have a worry in the world about, clearly heading into the All-Star break, and it's been this way for a week now, but heading into the All-Star break is completely different. 2 games behind the Jays, only a game up on the Red Sox. Both of those teams have kicked the Yankees' ass during the regular season. And it sounds like Brian Cashman's going to be aggressive. How aggressive? Are you willing to trade Spencer Jones? Are you willing to trade Ben Rice? Are you willing to trade Schlittler? Are you willing to move some of these pieces to try and impact this team right now? And what kind of impact and where do you need it most? Is it third base? Is it the starting rotation? Is it the bullpen? And for my money, it's still the bullpen number one. Because you look at, me and Jerry were talking about it on Friday morning, you look around Major League Baseball, you look at the champions, you look at how baseball is played these days, you need a bullpen. And right now the Yankees have Williams, who I'm still not ready to completely give my trust to in a big spot, although he's been great for 2 months. Weaver, who I'm eager to give my confidence to, but hasn't been the same since coming back from the injury, and nothing else. The Mets have the best closer in baseball. Brazoben's been good all year. He's faltering. Reed Garrett had a stretch where he really was awful, but he's coming back. But really, besides that, you've got a couple guys coming back from injury. You got Raley coming back, who they signed as a left-handed reliever. But how good do you feel about that bullpen for the Mets? Sounds like Stanek might have, Kranick looks like he might have Tommy John surgery. Can you trust Stanek? Who's the other guys in this bullpen that you can go to with any kind of confidence? So both of these teams have, although both good teams, both capable of doing a lot better than they've done, it's been a first half that, honestly, is kind of, for both teams, in many ways, defined by squandering leads. The Mets had a 5.5-game lead over Philadelphia on Father's Day weekend. That's a 6-game swing in a month. Yankees had a 7-game lead on Toronto. That's a 9-game swing in a month. Solid first halves. Both fully entrenched in the wild card. Both more than 10, Mets 13 games over, Yankees 10 games over 500, playing better as of late. But as we head into the All-Star break, both teams in need of moves, And I'm fascinated to see how both GMs handle it, particularly David Stearns in his first real go-through as the New York Mets GM. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Let's go to Matt. And Matt is calling from Florida. What's up, Matt? Okay. Let's go to Kevin. Is Kevin there?
What up, C-Mac?
What's up, Kev?
Hardest working man on WFN. Great job on the morning show, my man.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm all over the place. I'm busy. 6 days a week, I'm all over the place.
No sleep, huh?
No. What, I don't know. What word was that?
Do you have black drawers, or what's going on in your
bedroom? I have all different colored drawers, and my underwear are none of your concern.
No, your curtains, my man.
Blacking
it out?
I've tried that. It helps a little bit. I also have a mask that I wear, a sleeping mask that helps a little bit. And then I'm, heavily sedated. No, I'm just kidding.
You're like the bench warmers. You're afraid of the sun.
That's it. Exactly right. It's funny. You know how it's a problem when your kids are asking you all kinds of questions. And they're like, so when do you work? Oh, because, I listen during the day. And they're like, oh, this is this show. When's your show, Daddy? I'm like, oh, it's this. Oh, you're nocturnal. I'm like, yes, I actually am. I'm nocturnal.
So I'm thinking like Stearns. I'm getting smart. Jose Ramirez, you said it, pie in the sky. It's not going to happen.
Yes.
Stephen Kwan, though. I mean, put him lead off for the Yankees or Mets. This guy's a contact guy. I love him on my Mets. I mean, bat him lead off. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're moving Kwan right now. He's inexpensive at the moment. He doesn't have, although he's great, he doesn't have numbers that necessarily get you paid. I think that would be a great move. I don't think he could play center. That's the only thing. You would still need someone to play center field for the Mets. He's a corner outfielder. He's a left fielder. I don't know if he can't play center. I don't think he can. He's not for Cleveland, at least. So you still would have to figure out center field. I don't think that's, I mean, you're looking at, I think Mullins is a really good one. It's come around a lot. Mullins is a gamer. Mullins is a good defensive center fielder. He can do a lot with the bat. I think he's a major upgrade. That would be a move. Kwan would be great. I just don't think it's plausible. Same thing with the Yankees with Jose Ramirez. Like, I don't see Cleveland moving him. He's got such a friendly contract. I know they don't like to spend money, and they probably don't think they're going to win during his contract, but they have to give the fans something. They have to give them something. And how are you going to spend that money any better than on Jose Ramirez? I mean, he gave them a friendly contract. I doubt very much they move him, but... some of these pie in the sky moves, like there's names out there. Like, I wonder, Seager's getting hot. Would Texas move him, and would someone be willing to take that salary dump? And that's the thing for the Yankees too. It's not just a question for Brian Cashman here. It's major question time for Hal Steinbrenner. I joke and I rant about, the Yankee fans who are obsessed with George Steinbrenner and he's not his father and all that crap that drives me absolutely nuts.
Because where are you, George? We miss you, George. Your son's nothing like you, George.
I don't know if that played well on the radio or not, but I had fun doing it. But yes. You can go back on the Odyssey app. I did that sometime an hour ago. I did a whole rant about how people cry about George Steinbrenner.
I can't take it anymore with these Yankees.
Perfect 3 a.m. radio right there. Because we had this envision that it was everything was great. It was never bad. It was terrible. Like, there was long stretches of it being terrible under George, but that's okay. Never mind that. But Hal is going to have to decide how much money he's willing to take on, because some of these moves might be, significant money. Now, I think they're trying to move pieces. You can move Grisham and get some money off the books. You can move Stroman. I think that's definitely, and again, I think someone mentioned it before. I'm not sure if I'm going to take the call or he dropped off. The idea of Stroman to the Mets, I know they'll never do it because I don't think the Mets would do it because of the history with Stroman necessarily, but I do think there are teams out there who are looking for just guys at the back end of the rotation to get them through the season here. His innings won't hit the inning limit where it'll trigger a contract for next year, so you don't have to worry about that. And that was probably the hang up at the start of the year with teams. Why would teams trade for Marcus Stroman? You do, if you trade for Marcus Stroman, the point is to have him eat innings. And if he eats innings, he triggers $18 million next year. Nobody wanted that. Now that's gone. And there are still teams who could probably need a fourth or fifth starter who are just serviceable major league starters who can help give them innings and get them through as they're trying to chase down a wild card. So, and that would save the Yankees money. So there are moves to kind of get some money off the books while they're acquiring. But Hal's going to have to answer whether or not he's willing to take on money and go past this, these luxury taxes. Like, because there could be moves out there if he's willing to eat significant payroll. There are salary dumps out there to be had if he's willing to eat it. Like, Evan brought it up a couple weeks ago. I don't think it's crazy. Considering, and again, he's injury prone. It scares the hell out of you. 2-3 years from now, you're going to be screaming Brian Cashman's an idiot. But I don't know how Texas views Seager. I know that's crazy, but he's hot again. He's injured all the time. They won their championship. I don't know how they view the rest of this roster that hasn't performed all that well in the last 2 years. They could easily break it down and say, hey, we won our championship. Would you be willing to take on Seager's contract? I don't think you'd have to give up much in the way of prospects. You just take on Seager's money and you put him at third base. Think of how good the team would be with Seager in the middle of the lineup. So, like, are those moves even considered? Would you be willing to go above and beyond and go well above the luxury tax? Questions for Brian Cashman and questions for the owner. 888-808-1019. Let's try to get to... let's go to Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about Valkyrie for a minute, but on his starting pitching.
Valkyrie? The Tom Cruise movie?
Valkyrie.
It was pretty good.
You know, on the Yankees starting pitching, I know it's not deep, but how many teams have a better starting three than Fried, Rodon, and Warren?
Yeah.
Not too many.
Well, at least a couple in the American League, the Tigers and the Mariners for sure.
32 team. All right. And by the way, you're out of line by even thinking of trading this guy Shetler. I mean, I know it's one game, but he looked poised. He averaged 98 miles an hour. Average.
Yeah.
And then they made a point. Nobody averages 98 miles starting.
But again, so do you think he will? Or do you think that was one start?
No, you might have a killer here in a pitcher.
Yeah, you might have nothing who never pitches that well again.
Well, I know it's only one game, but
he can't come up, make one start, and then be untouchable. He just can't be.
Well, you can't immediately trade him. You got to give him a chance. Oh, come on, Chris.
Depending on what he brings back, why not? You got to give to get.
What is he, 24 years old?
You got it. Yeah, I understand.
All sorts of pressure. He looked poised.
What do you mean sorts of pressure? He pitched in a major league game. There's inherent pressure, of course, but like...
He had 30 people of his family in there.
I understand
there was pressure.
That.
Let me make my point about Volpe.
Never trade anyone who comes up and plays well. You gotta give to get.
I know, to me,
you trade all that garbage to get great players. Okay, that's nice, but this isn't, this isn't Back to the Future 2, and you can't just turn, you can't feed the DeLorean with garbage, my friend. You gotta be willing to give.
You also got to see what you got. You might have a killer for the next.
All right. Well, they saw
years.
What they got with Gleyber Torres. They saw what they got with Andujar. They saw what they got with Clint Frazier. They saw what they got with Anthony Volpe. They saw what they got with all these guys who now we all wish they traded.
Okay, on Volpe.
Yeah.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if I recall that when he was in the nine hole, he did pretty well. The pressure is off. He comes up with men on base now. There's a lot of pressure. In the nine hole, Peraza, I mean, he shouldn't be there because then when the meat of the order comes up, there's one out and no one on. He's an automatic out for us. Volpe would cut
down. Where's the best spot to put the automatic out? Where in the lineup do you want the automatic out?
Well, I don't know, but not when the meat of the order is coming up, because then it's one out, nobody on. Listen, Volpe would cut down his swing. He says, I got to get on because the big boys are coming up behind me. I would try him in the nine hole.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. It's not going to change anything, but I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. It's not going to change anything. The idea that he's under too much pressure, that you could hide anybody somewhere, like you can't, it's not like...
He's a Major League Baseball player going out to be the shortstop of the New York Yankees. You think the seventh hole is too much pressure? You got to put him back to nine. That'll change everything. Like, there's pressure. His father's getting into fights at Citi Field. There's pressure. You can't hide him. And where do you want to hit Peraza? Like, I love it. You can't hit Peraza ninth. He's like, think of how we go through this. And it's not just to knock him, but it's like, this is what we talk about, man. It drives me crazy. On one hand, Peraza can't hit ninth because he's too bad. And then with the second breath, he's like, you got to put Volpe ninth because he's not good enough to hit seventh. Like, well, where if Peraza's an automatic out, where do you hit him? Where's a good spot to hit the automatic? You hit him ninth because he has the least at bats on the team. That's why you hit him ninth. Like, hit him fifth. We should hit him. Oh my goodness. And again, I'm not saying Volpe shouldn't be the nine hitter. Right now he should be the 10th hitter. He should be on the bench. I don't disagree. I mean, like, I don't think they're going to do that. And they don't have anybody else who could play the position but Peraza, and he should be hitting 11th. So, like, I don't know. But yeah, no. Anthony Volpe right now, and I think the defense, I think what you saw too, like, I think this is a window into Anthony Volpe. And this is why I don't think it's just physical. It's clearly mental. Because he's playing the position scared. He's playing the position scared. That's not, like, watch the game. He plays that hop back. Like, he's just, he's afraid to make a mistake. That's not bad fundamentals. It's not what everybody else, it's not because nobody's holding accountable. It's the opposite. It's really the opposite. Holding Anthony Volpe accountable is not going to help. He's holding himself accountable and he can't deal with it. Like, that's what's killing him. You think what's killing him is the manager's not getting on him? You think what's killing him is that he's not being, you know, dragged to the carpet by Boone? You think what's killing him is that Brian Cashman defends him against, you know, reporters in press conferences? You think that's the problem with Volpe? You think nobody's grabbed him by the ear and pulled him and said, here, this is what you're going to do? That's not the problem. The problem is he's in a funk and he can't get out of it.
That's the Volpe.
That's the Volpe. I mean, he's putting way too much pressure on himself. And you could see it in how he plays defense. You could see it in his throws, and you could see him not being aggressive on hops. He's like, oh, if I go in and I blow this ball, I'd rather be a second late on the throw than bobble it and have everybody kill me. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Got you for another half hour or so as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps. Back as if to say.
I want to stay home today? What is this? What is this, some sort of like teen pop 90s song?
Correct.
Did I nail it, really?
No, it's, it like, it's called Self.
Self? No, it sounds like one of those, like, you know, it's like the band of a Disney show. The main character's in a band. And the big hit that he performs at prom for the first gig ever is I Want to Stay Home Today. And the crowd goes nuts.
It's fair.
That's what it sounds like to me. Yep. Like, I want to stay home today like I did back in high school. You know what you did? You made hot dogs for lunch and you watched Benny Hill. That's what I did. Price is Right, hot dogs, Benny Hill. I would get creative with the hot dogs. I would cut them up into little pieces, fry them in the pan with butter, maybe melt a little cheese and make like a hot dog sandwich. But I didn't get crazy. Little eggs. And, oh, today's my lucky day. Let's hope, hopefully, a lot of luck's coming my way. A double yolker today. Making breakfast this morning, cracked open an egg, double yolk. That's got to be good luck, right? How often do you get a double yolk? That's got to be rare. Double yolk. Made an omelet with 4 eggs, only needed 3. That's how it's done. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Travis in the Bronx. What's up, Travis? Oh, that's right. You said he dropped. Let's go to... Oh, you got to reset this. 888-808-1019. Talking about double yolks. This whole time, I think I got calls up there. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So, yeah, we're talking, obviously, about the trade deadline a lot, and I mentioned the idea of, you know, taking on money. Now, I don't think that's a problem for Steve Cohen, right? I think we all understand that. Steve Cohen, I would think, would be open to anything, right? That's the benefit of Steve Cohen. Now, again, the idea of just giving endless contracts, like, I'd be surprised if Kyle Tucker is someone they go and give a long-term contract to, considering you already have Nimmo making money in the outfield. You've got, obviously, Soto making money in the outfield. As much as they don't want to spend money in the pitching department, I still don't think they want to give these enormous contracts, these long-term contracts, a bunch of different ones. You got to sign Pete Alonso, which, again, I'm surprised Pete didn't want to do the home run derby because... You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but it very well could be the last time he has an opportunity to do so in the Met uniform. He's been great. I was surprised Mendoza called when defending Soto and talking about putting Soto in the All-Star game and he belongs in it. From the story I read, he referenced him as the MVP of the team. I don't think so at all. We'll get into like first half MVPs and all the stuff we'll do over the week. Obviously, I'm with you later today, filling in for Keith, so I'll be back here at 7 p.m. with you.
and we'll do stuff like that. We'll talk about, you know, the first half. We'll project the second half. But to hear Mendoza call Juan Soto the MVP of the Mets, I think that's crazy. And that's not to knock Juan Soto. He's been great, and he had one of the greatest months of his career, one of the greatest months any Met has ever had in June. But Pete Alonso is the MVP of this team. I don't know how you see it any other way. Like, the dude has been clutch at every big spot. He was carrying the team. Like, the thing about Juan Soto in June is they weren't very good in June. And not his fault. I'm not blaming him. But they weren't very good. They were losing. They were 3-16 over a 19-game stretch. Pete Alonso carried them in the start of the year. He's got almost 80 RBIs. He's been their most clutch player by a mile. How could you say that just because you want him to get into the All-Star game that Juan Soto's the MVP? That would have pissed me off if I was Pete. I'm sure he doesn't care, and I wouldn't be pissed at Juan Soto. I'd just be like, what the hell? I'm not the MVP in this team? Just because the, you know, $760 million man didn't get to the All-Star game, we got to call him the MVP of the team? How about that? I think it's been Pete Alonso. And again, we'll see how David Stearns, again, we're just getting to know David, getting to know you, getting to know all about you. We're going to get to know about David Stearns, and I don't know if he wants to give Pete a contract. We'll see if the owner steps in, but the owner at this trade deadline, I would think, would be willing to take on anything. Right now you're looking at a Dodgers team that, yes, is very good, but they've been dealing with some injuries, obviously, in the starting rotation. I think Glasnow just coming back, but like, they just lost 7 games in a row. They're by no means any sort of world beater, can't be beat. Like, this is the time to go chase it. The Dodgers won 2 in a row after losing 7 in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They're 5.5 games up on the Padres, who are only 8 games over 500. So whatever you can go do out there and add money, you would think, again, he was willing to pay 2 years ago at the trade deadline a superpower that no other owner has, a superpower that we know that Hal Steinbrenner wouldn't do. He went out and paid more money to bring back better quality prospects when trading Scherzer and Verlander. Now, will he do the same? Can you do the same here? Can you find deals where you could take on more money and give up lesser prospects? We'll see. But I would think that this owner is open to anything and that this is a full-blown attack this trade deadline and go out and try and win a championship. But it's going to be fascinating to see how both these teams operate. We will see. And as we, you know, get ready for this All-Star game and All-Star week, I did want to just talk and bring up the point of this, the starting pitcher from Milwaukee, Mazeroski, who's had an incredible start to his career. I believe it's 5 starts. I don't know. When he first was announced, it was 5 starts. I didn't check to see if he pitched yesterday or today. Or Saturday or Sunday. But when it was announced he was going to the All-Star game, he had made 5 major league starts this year. And a lot of people are up in arms about it. And, you know, it's interesting. It's still only 5 starts. So he's made 5 starts, and he's going to be an All-Star. And it's ridiculous on many levels, right? It's just absolutely ridiculous. He's not an All-Star. He should not be an All-Star. I totally agree. But Major League Baseball, and this is why it's kind of wrapped up in the Juan Soto conversation too, because you want to promote your stars. Now, Juan Soto, I don't know if he needs promoting necessarily. He plays for the Mets, played for the Yankees last year. He was the talk of the entire offseason. His contract is the biggest in professional sports. Like, he is probably one of the more recognizable players in the game, almost certainly. But that's what I have, like, to me, if you are going to pull nonsense, and I don't care what anybody says, it's absolute nonsense. Now, I don't get hung up on it. It's an exhibition. I could care less. And I'm not overly concerned for all the guys who deserve to be there and should have had their... I get it. There are guys who are toiling away in the minors and majors for years, couldn't sniff an all-star team, having the best years of their career, just not quite good enough, and then they throw this, you know, phenom who's made five starts in the all-star game. I'm sure it's pissing off a lot of people. That doesn't even bother me that much. It's just, if you're going to promote your stars, right, if that's how you want to handle the all-star game, then fine, then stop giving the vote to players. Stop allowing Juan Soto to not be in the game, right? If you're going to pull crap like giving Kershaw a career achievement award by allowing him to pitch in the by allowing him to make the All-Star team, you're going to call up a starting pitcher and bring him after five starts of a major league career, then how the hell is Juan Soto not on the All-Star team? Like, if you're going to make it about the stars, then put the freaking stars in no matter how they play. And in some cases, it's like that. Julio Rodriguez is a young superstar. Now, he doesn't deserve... Look at his numbers. He's damn near close to Anthony Volpe. And he's in the game. It's like a... It's just... It's mixed. Like, is it about the season you're having, or is it about promoting the game of baseball? And I know that that baseball sucks worse than most any other sport at promoting their superstars. And I'm not sure the MVP the wild card game actually does that. But if you're going to have this young kid make the All-Star game off of five starts, then I don't care what Juan Soto does. I don't care what Aaron Judge does. I don't care what Ohtani does. I don't care what Mike Trout does. I don't care what they'll put all the freaking stars in, because that's what you're saying. You're saying it's not about how you perform. It's about whether or not we can showcase players and push the game. And I understand it. I understand it. But then just do it. Then just do it. And stop having nice stories of you know, like... it. And putting in guys who are having, you know, one career year, like a Matthew Boyd making this. Why is Boyd starting? Why is Boyd making the All-Star team? Who cares? No one cares about Matthew Boyd. I'm not going to sell a single ticket. No one gives a damn. You couldn't find somebody up with a sexier name? Make the All-Star team? It's just... I'm sorry. It's just... If you're going to do it one way, do it. Because this kid doesn't deserve to be an all-star. And I feel bad for him in some ways. It's awesome, I'm sure. He's going to be an all-star. It's going to be next to his name forever. But he knows. Everyone's going to look at him. Like, he's going to that all-star game knowing he doesn't deserve to be there. Who the hell would want it that way? I actually feel bad for him. Who would honestly want it that way? You made the all-star team because you had a good five starts and people are talking about you. And they're hoping to push baseball in Milwaukee. Because, you know, a handlebar mustache mascot going down a slide isn't doing it anymore. And despite having a good, solid team over the last handful of years, no one cares about the Brewers. So, oh, you got a star. Let's promote him. And let's put him in a game he has no business being in. And that's fine. But then Juan Soto can't be sitting it out. It and stop making every team have one. Stop with the stupid rule that every team needs an all-star. Who cares? Put the stars out there. Go buy, you know, Instagram followers instead of RBIs. It's just, you know, it's stupid. And so when people say, you know, the Juan Soto thing, that's the one that I'm just like, well, then put Juan Soto in.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart. We're here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll come back. Take your phone calls. Rapid fire styles. We'll take you all the way to the warm-up show at 5. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Be right back.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Seventeen, you don't think that much about life.
All right, 4:51, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Monday morning as we're just getting back in the swing of the week. Weekend's over. Summer weekends are the best. I was at the pool yesterday. They go by so fast. It's already middle of June. July. Already the middle of July. We're at the All-Star break. Before you know it, we'll be at that. Every time I do this, I have to do the Francesa thing. Before you know it, Francesa, when talking about time and how quickly the NFL season passes, is classic. He does it every single time he sets up the picks segment. Every single time for years. I was on the other side for it. He's still doing it now with his podcast. It's heartwarming. It's good to know that still happens in the world. Already week four in the NFL. It happens so fast. I swear, you know, before you know it, it's going to be Thanksgiving. We're going to be carving the turkey. We get ready for the Cowboys at 4 o'clock. It happens every single time. I love it. I love it. Already week six. Already week six in the NFL. And I feel like that already. This season just started. The baseball season just started with 90 games in at the All-Star break. And Pete Alonso's not in the home run derby? What the hell is going on? How the hell is Pete Alonso not in the home run derby? What's he doing? You got something better to do, Pete? You love this. Don't deny yourself this. Don't be that guy. Don't be afraid just because guys like me mock you. Go out there and do your thing. Lift weights, do squats, whatever it is you do in between at bats, go do it. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut to him and he's reading like Moby Dick sitting there going, call me Ishmael. Like, he could do anything, but he's so locked in during the home run derby. I can't believe he's not doing it. And we got to see Jazz tonight. And hopefully, I know every Yankee fan is holding their breath that Jazz comes through. And the only thing I'll say is, and normally I don't push back on this stuff. Normally I like when Yankees participate. Normally, you know, I feel like the fear of slumps or injuries or whatever is always like, all right, relax. They're swinging a bat. That's what they do. Jazz has oblique injury history. That's the only thing that bothers me. He's talked about 70%. You don't swing 70% at the home run derby. Just take it easy, Jazz. Just take it easy. We need you, big guy. They need you for the second half. Nobody, you know. Home run derby, be nice. No one remembers. Unless you're Pete Alonso, then we never forget. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though. Let's go to Dennis in Long Island. What's up, Dennis?
Hi, good morning. Juan Soto, they went 3-16 while he was batting a great pace. And It just goes to show you don't really need him to win because Pete took care of that.
Well, I mean, you don't need him to win in April necessarily. I guess you're right, but you're going to need Juan Soto in the postseason. They're going to need Juan Soto to be better with runners in scoring position in the second half. That's like one of the things you're looking for in the second half. He's great, obviously, and you have no concerns about him other than he's been hitting under 200 with runners in scoring position. That's got to change. And I mentioned the players that you're looking to impact the second half, and thank you for the call, Dennis. Obviously, to me, number one, and we got a piece of this weekend, and that's why even losing this game Sunday, and I know they went 3-3 in the final six here with losing 2 out of 3 to Baltimore and then taking this Kansas City series, and they had an opportunity, you know, and if the offense did anything, they could have had an opportunity to be up a half a game heading into the All-Star break, but I still feel pretty good about the Mets at the moment. Actually, I feel good about both teams. You know, call me crazy. I know the Yankees lost the last two. They went 4-6 in the last six. You know, they won 5 in a row. The offense kind of exploded there for a while. The pitching settled down, and Williams has been good in the bullpen. I feel good about both of them, but for the Mets especially, like you saw Senga come back. You saw Manaea come back and pitch well. I know he ends up getting a loss in this game and giving up the winning run in the bottom of the ninth, but you got to be thrilled with what you saw from him to start this game, or, you know, to start from him after relieving Clay Holmes. Like, I feel like the rotation after what you saw from Montas in the Saturday game, you feel like you've stabilized the rotation, which was in flux wasn't even the word. It was an absolute disarray with all the injuries and Griffin Canning, and then you added that injury and the Paul Blackburn stuff. Like, it was just awful. And you had bad starts from Peterson, and now he's settled back in. Like, I think the rotation is in a much better spot. I mean, it's in the spot you thought it would be heading into the season. This is the rotation you expected to start the year. So I feel like the rotation's much better. The offense still struggles with runners in scoring position, and it's still what's costing them most days. But they have shown the propensity to come back in these games and score late. Even yesterday, they lose the game, but they do score 2 in the ninth to force extras off of a closer they're very familiar with, closing for Phillies last year with the, you know, in the postseason, how they got to him, and then in the first game of the series, they get to him. But they come from behind against Baltimore. They come from behind against Kansas City. They tie the game even yesterday, even though they fall. So the offense is at least, you know, showing some toughness and some fight late in the game. The pitching has been much better. Reed Garrett's been much better, and Diaz is arguably the best closer in the sport. So, like, as they attack this trade deadline coming up after the All-Star break, I feel a lot better about them. I know they were 5.5 up, and now they're a half a game back. I know they still haven't hit their stride necessarily, but a lot of their issues have kind of at least, if not been solved, have at least have a pretty damn strong Band-Aid on them. And we'll see what happens at the trade deadline. And for the Yankees, same thing. Like, I feel better about them. They're not playing as lousy as they were. That switch from Jazz back to second base, although it hasn't been a cure-all, they have been much better defensively almost immediately. The offense woke up. They came back and won a game. They were down 5 in the eighth for the first time since 2016. And really, this team has had an issue with, you know, falling behind and never making it a game again, and so that was a really good sign. They beat up a Seattle team that went on to leave the Yankee Stadium and I believe go to Detroit and sweep the Tigers. Or head home for Detroit. I forget who was on that, where they were, but they swept the best team in the American League and scored a ton of runs. And Kyle Raleigh hit his 38th home run to head into the All-Star break with 38. And with some of the best pitching in the American League, and the Yankees pounded them. And then they scored 11 runs on the Cubs and got shut down by two lefties. So I'm not dismissing those two games that they got shut down. And clearly Volpe has really continued every day to emerge as one of the real problems of this team. And as we get to the All-Star break with Anthony Volpe, I'll be the first to tell you I don't see the Yankees doing anything, but how long can this last? How long can you have a shortstop who doesn't make the plays and hits under 200? Like, I don't know how long you can go with that. I started the show saying I don't think you can expect the Yankees to add shortstop to their list of needs come the trade deadline, and I wouldn't expect Brian Cashman to trade for one. But it's becoming a legitimate, scary problem to have a dead spot at the shortstop position and have it be a prospect that you believed in and you've shown faith in. So the Volpe issue is becoming an issue. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. I'll be with you later today. I'll be filling in for Keith, so I'll be with you for a five-hour ride to midnight, as we'll call it.
Just from move seven. Your ass and get the
yeah,
hell
I know.
Out
I'm
of
leaving, mind. Boomer. I'm leaving. But thank you. Back from vacation. You can't stop yelling at me. So I'll see you at 7 tonight. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. I'm out of here. Rami on the other side. I appreciate it. See you later. Bye-bye.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.